So here we are again, the EAEM podcast on the Sunday episode while I'm waiting for the football to start. I hope you know that I've actually done research today as well. I've wrote stuff down on my laptop. I've got it all saved out all nice. So I've got a couple of topics to talk about today. I'm feeling quite proud of myself, but I'm just a way to have a smoke since I've been working. And the Liverpool match, the last game of the season, is on in about 35 minutes. So this will be about a 30-minute episode, possibly. It's exciting times with the football. We are 1 point behind Man City. We both play today. It is Aston Villa versus Man City, but it is at the Etihad, which is always a difficult place to play. But today could be the day that Steven Gerrard wins the Premier League for Liverpool. All those years he's been retired from playing, who could have thought that he could win the Premier League for Liverpool? It could be a special, special day. I've got some special TV as well, so I could watch the Liverpool match on one bit and the City match on another bit, which I possibly might do. Have the Liverpool match on the loud and watch the City match as well. But I don't think I want to see City gub Aston Villa. That's exactly what's going to happen, but you got to keep the hopes up. Was close. I nearly choked. But yeah, as I said, you've got to keep your hopes up. There's still that little tiny bit of hope, bit of luck, man. Just pure and utter luck. I saw as well on what was this, a lad Bible, that there's some woman who's got a bet on Liverpool to win the quadruple, and she's got like £100 on it, and she's not gonna cash out on it. But it didn't show you. I saw another guy who like he actually had his betting slip up, and it was Liverpool to win the quadruple, and the two of them are already there. And I think if we win all four, he gets 325,000. But his cash out was sitting at like 22,000 just now, and it was like, would you cash out? And kind of like, well, like, I'm not too sure. I think I would probably cash out, knowing that you had the chance of like 22 grand just there. But then if they did win, if City did mess up today, and then we did win the league, and then we did go on to beat Real Madrid, then oh, you'd be absolutely gutted that you just lost all that money. It's exciting times though. I'm really excited. I feel like a giddy little schoolboy. Been quite an exciting day today, actually. A little junior staying last night. He stayed over. And we had my mum's work today out in Inverurie. They have got what's the we'll get the name for it. So if you're ever in the Inverurie area and you want to take your young kids, because it's definitely more for young kids, like, so if you've got young kids and you're in the Inverurie area, you can take them up to my mum's work, which is Beck's, I think it's called. Whereabouts are we? Yeah, Beck's Inclusive Soft Play Centre. and they do a lot of for disabled kids and children in need with special needs and stuff. So it's really good. It's really nice. So that's where my mum works. So if you are around that area, then go and check it out. It's really good. So we were there today with my little boy, because they had Bob's Birds. Let's see if I can find something about Bob's Birds. No, that's not it. That's not either. Damn it. I should have had a look at the thingy that Max took, because he took a leaflet that had everything about it. But I learned. So yeah, so this place, Bob's Birds, it came and they had owls. So we managed to hold a barn owl, a long-eared owl, and a tawny owl. And they also had an eagle owl as well. It was huge that we didn't get to hold him, but they were absolutely gorgeous. I will actually get the pictures up on Instagram when after my mum sends me over the ones of me holding the owls. And I will get them up on Instagram and you can have a look. I also, while I'm in Joe's work today as well, like I got told roped into working. So I went out to pay for my coffee and this like hot blonde it came through and said that there was no table, so my mum was gonna sort that out. So then I came through to get my coffee and Joe and my mum's like you offer that lady your table and I'll get your table sorted. And I was like, all right, okay, no problem. So I go and tell her, I'm like, look, can like you take my table? And she's like, no, not at all. Like the lady's just the way to go and sort me out a table. And I'm like, no, it's my mum. Like she's just said I'll offer up my table and she'll sort me out a table. And she's like, no, like I'll wait, I feel really bad and stuff. And I'm like, nah, like my mom's daughter said to do this for you. And she's like, no, I'll wait, I feel really bad stealing your table. And I was like, nah, it's fine, don't worry. She had a gorgeous smile as well, like, so it was all like, yeah, don't worry, you can take the table, it's all good. So but yeah, I learned some stuff about owls when we were there. So I always thought that now owls were nocturnal, you know, like you only saw owls at night time, and they were only out at night time and everything. But that's totally not the case, and it's to do with the color of their eyes. So owls have got so if they've got yellow eyes, it points to day activity species such as little owls, and orange eyes indicate that the species is active at dusk or at dawn, such as long-eared owls. And then black eyes are for a night active species such as tawny owls. And I never knew that before, but it was totally amazing. Like when you were seeing the owls and stuff, it was totally amazing seeing the different eye color and everything. Like some of the photos that I got were absolutely amazing, like absolutely stunning. I've got one of little Junior holding the can't remember what one it is. It might be the long-eared owl, and it's looking right at him, and he's like looking away, but they always like total looking directly at him as well. Cool, like so. So yeah, once I get my mum to send those videos, I will not the videos, the photos, I will have a look, and I will get them up on Instagram so that you can have a look and see what is what. And yeah, so that was pretty cool. And then also it does work. So after the hot blonde incident as well, I got roped into working a bit because kind of like they'd heard that it was my mum who was working there because I just offered up my table. So the guy who had the elves knocked on the door and nobody had let him in because like Joe was doing sandwiches and stuff, working in the back and stuff. So someone had let him in, and then he's like, "Oh, whereabouts should I set up and everything?" And the woman's like, "Oh, well, I don't know, I don't work here, but it's your mom who works here, isn't it?" So kind of, I got roped into going around and trying to find her, and then it was like the owl guy's here. Whereabouts you want him? All down at the bottom bay. And then when he got down there, and he was like, "Oh, we need another table because a couple had came in and there was no tables." Exactly, because the hot blonde had just stolen my table, and Jill had never taken me out another table. So they had taken a table for the elf cell, basically. So then I was kind of like running around trying to find a table and everything for the elf guy and everything. When my mom came back, I was like, "Hope I'm getting paid for this. It's going to be my Sunday off, and I'm working." It's pretty mental. I'm just waiting for this football countdown. The Alberts are on just now. You see that? I know that I spoke about this not that long ago, about the weed in London. But I went and had another look. So it's Sadiq Khan has appointed a former minister to investigate the possible decriminalization of cannabis. The London mayor made the announcement during a visit to the cannabis factory in Los Angeles. Mr. Khan said he had an open mind about the merits of legalizing the Class B drug, but it would be foolish to dismiss the idea. The London Drugs Commission will be chaired by ex-Dom Minister Lord Charlie Faulkner, close friend of former Prime Minister Tony Blair. The mayor said it would examine evidence from around the globe before making recommendations. I've not got an opinion yet. What's important, and I speak as a former lawyer, is the evidence, said Mr. Khan. Let's look at the evidence from a health perspective, from a criminal perspective, from a law perspective, from a community perspective, but also what's happening from across the globe. We can close our minds and stick our heads in the sand, or we can look at the evidence, he added. Los Angeles was said to earn an annual income of $165 million from business rates linked to cannabis shops. Mr. Khan seemed impressed by the indoor cannabis factory, which grows plants from saplings and then repeats the process multiple times. Factory founder Aaron Maman said state taxes posed a threat to the legal cannabis trade. He fears licenses would drive cannabis users to cheap illegal suppliers. The move towards legal cannabis was expected to infuriate families of children who were hospitalized during a spike in drugs use in the 1990s. Mr. Khan added, if the commission spent time looking at the evidence, takes a range of views, examines what's happening around the world, and comes up with a conclusion, it would be foolish for me to ignore it. So let's wait and see what the commission concludes. Californians were first allowed to smoke cannabis in 2016, provided it was homegrown and for their own use. In 2018, the relaxation of regulations allowed licensed stores to sell the drug in small doses. But then this is where it got nasty. And a Labour Party spokesman said Labour does not support changing the law on drugs. Drugs policy is not devolved to mayors, and under Labour would continue to be set as by national government. Home Secretary Priti Patel said Mr. Khan's time would be better spent focusing on tackling crime in the capital. But then I was also having a look. I always knew that Portugal had like a. What was it? I think they had just legalized everything. So then I went and had a look, and it was like in 2001, Portugal decriminalized the personal possession of all drugs as part of a wider reorientated of policy towards a health-led approach. Possession of drugs for personal use is instead treated as an
administrative offence, meaning it is no longer punishable by imprisonment and does not result in a criminal record and associated stigma. Drugs are, however, still confiscated and possession may result in administrative penalties such as fines or community service. But then it also said that drug death rates in Portugal remain some of the lowest in the EU, 6 deaths per million among people aged 15 to 64, compared to the EU average of 23.7 per million in 2019. They are particularly incomparable to the 315 deaths per million aged 15 to 64 experienced in Scotland, which is over 50 times higher than the Portuguese rates, which is mental. So the war on drugs is definitely not help. It's definitely not working, is it? I remember seeing a meme and it's like the war on drugs, and it's got like the war on drugs is the barbed wire, and it's got like a cat going through the barbed wire, you know, like in the middle because it's like rounded. And like that's the drugs because the war on drugs isn't working. And then what was it? I started my Facebook. I logged back into my Facebook page. It's been like about a year and a half maybe that I haven't been on Facebook, and there was a post that I had shared not that long ago before I had it came off, and it was like some scary marijuana stats, and it was like 88,000 deaths are annually attributed to excessive use. It's like every day 30 people in the US die in car crashes that involve a marijuana impaired driver. Teen marijuana use kills 4,700 people each year. And then number four, it says, joke, those stats are about alcohol. And it's mental, isn't it, that alcohol can do that in America. Those are stats in America. But alcohol was still legal well before marijuana was in over in America. And I mean, over here, alcohol is totally legal, whereas marijuana is not. It's just crazy. But I think a lot of it's to do with the pharmaceutical companies, because I think a lot with marijuana would take away a lot of the drugs that people are using, like back pain. Like, I mean, I self-medicated myself with weed when I had my back pain because I didn't want to take the tramadol, which is basically just smack, and the weed helped a lot more than what the tramadol done. So I mean, one can hope. I think it's going in the right direction. I think the UK would be a better place. I think there's a lot of people out there in the UK that just do it anyway, so we're all keeping our fingers crossed. I also wanted to say that on Saturday I actually went and done my 5K, which I'm proud about. I didn't lie to myself about not going out and doing it. I went out and done it. I managed to, what was it? Like, I slowed down my pace, like I said I was gonna do. So like my first kilometer was like 7 minutes 20, which before, like, I was hitting 6 minutes 30, 6 minutes 20 before. So I'd done 7 minutes 20, and then the next one was 6 minutes 56, and then 7 minutes and 4. But I think the route that I go, like, I always notice that my third K is always slower than like my second K and my fourth K. But I think it's because the route that I go, my second K, I'm running through Tullydrone, and you go like through the houses, and it's a lot of kind of straight, and then you turn, and then there's like a little bit, and then you turn again. So you're slowing down a bit, getting in through those bays, and there's quite a lot of them. And then you get back down onto the river and then run across the river. And I went a different direction this time as well, where I normally what I'll do is I won't cross the bridge. I'll kind of run up next to the side of the bridge, come up a little slip road that's a little hill, and then cross the road again, and then go down the little slip road and then back the way that I came. Whereas this time I went over the bridge, the Diamond Bridge, heading towards Grantham, and then I went down to the other side of the other side of the river, and then around Grantham, and then that was my 5K there. So yeah, my 4K, I done it in 6 minutes 33. My 5K was 6 minutes 31, and then I stopped about 2.5K back from home after my 5K because I was absolutely knackered. I think like my highest heart rate bit got like up to like about 190 beats per minute, which was pretty bad. I mean, it just shows how can like how much I haven't like. I mean, I even had that, you know, when you haven't been running or you haven't been exercising for absolutely ages, and then you get like that when you breathe in after you've exercised, and you've got a cough and everything. That's what I got. So yeah, so I had a 2.5 walk back home, and then I came in and done my abs workout with all the planking and stuff like that. That's like 20 minutes, and it was I burned like 231 calories from that. Then after that, I done like a 15-minute meditation, and then I went and met Junior and Junior's mum, and we went for a walk out with Balmedy with his bike, and there's a playground there, so we went out there, and then we came back because I found a frisbee in the park or in the bushes, in the gooseberry bushes just next to the park, that someone had obviously lost, so that well got pinched. So you know, like I didn't just pinch it. Like there wasn't kids like hanging around waiting for their frisbee or anything like that. Like the frisbee was like nobody was around, you know, like someone had lost it and then left the frisbee, and I had found it and grabbed it, and now I own the frisbee. So yeah, so I took like another walk, me and Junior, when we came back from Balmaddy. We went for a walk around Seaton Park, so we've done like another 3.1. So kind of like at the end of the day, my watch had said that I burned like 1,867 calories, exercised for 152 minutes, done 22,477 steps with a final distance of 17.4 kilometers. And like that's also with this stuff that I didn't record, you know, like while I'm walking around and everything. Anyway, so it was pretty mental. I've got my watch set, the calories set for 900 as well, so I got a 200%, which I haven't had in ages. Ages. So yeah, it felt pretty good getting that today or yesterday. Actually pushing myself to my limits, but it's rubbish with the planks. I've managed to give myself a carpet burn because you're on your elbows quite a lot, so they're obviously moving a little bit because you're holding your weight up on it. So I've given myself a carpet burn on my left arm, and it scabbed over. But then on Saturday when I was doing it, I've total opened it back up again, and it's all really sore. Sorry, I saw the football there, and there's a guy in the Liverpool match who's holding a sign. It's like Stevie G, come on Stevie G, do it for old time's sake. Like come on Stevie G, hopefully one could hope. I also want you go check out this person. I want you, so about simulation theory. So I was on TikTok, and I've fallen down a simulation theory hole. I want you to go and check out, because this person's got some pretty mental thing that she goes and checks out. She's got like a folder that's just simulation theory. Dudes, go and check it out. It's pretty cool. The reason that I came across it was that she was talking about the Ethiopian calendar, and I was trying to find that one. So if you can Have a look through our profile. See if you can find something about the Ethiopian calendar. If you can find it, watch that one because that's pretty mental as well. It was talking about how the Ethiopian calendar is different from our calendar, and there's 13 months in their calendar, and they're still using their calendar, and they're in 2014. And then she was like, "Is this what it means when the like time doesn't mean anything? So we live in the past, the present, and the future all the time, because we're in 2020, but they're only in 2014, but we're still living in it exactly the same time that they're living in, basically." But it said that, you know, the whole thing about the Mayan calendar, that it was going to end on December 31st, 2012, but on their calendar, it was the 31st of December 2012, on like, what was it, in 2019 or something like that, just before COVID hit. And it was like, now we're living in a new world. It was mental. I'm probably butchering it. That's why I wanted you to go and have a look at this person and see if you can find this video and watch some stuff about our simulation, because it is pretty cool. It is pretty mental, like, but yeah, her name is at the at sign, of course, and it's Alex Serves Tea, all one word, no spaces, on TikTok. Go and check it out, because it's pretty mind-blowing. And if you can find that one about the Ethiopian calendar, then go and watch that, because that's pretty mind-blowing as well. Really mind-blowing. Like, I even sent it to my mate, and he was like, "That total makes sense." He was like, "That's absolutely crazy." Like, mentally crazy. So yeah, just completely blows my mind. Go and check it out. And I'm back on TikTok now as well. If you want to go and follow me, I'm smoking 9087, and that's KEY. SMOKEY 9E for Echo 87. You will find me there. I've done one video. Actually, I've got two videos. I've done the video of our opening up our tent when we were at Loch Morlaich. I've got that. And then I also done a video after my run, actually. And I was quite impressed, actually, because it's got like 511 views or something like that. It's only got a few likes, like, but it's got that many views, which isn't bad. Like, I was quite impressed. Because when I was doing it before, I was only getting like about 200 and odd views, and then one of them would maybe go up a little bit higher. But yeah, first video I've done of like that, and it's got like 511 views, so that's not bad at all. If I can continue on possibly putting out some content and doing the podcast as well, and see how that goes. We'll continue on doing this. I think that this probably looks what it's going to be like. It's going to be like a Sunday and a Friday thing. Friday and Sunday. I think that's what we're going to be doing until I start getting stressed out about it. If I start getting stressed out about it, then it'll start getting lower and lower, and then I won't do it, and then I'll probably come back after some time. But yes, you beautiful, beautiful people, I'm now gonna sign off. I'm gonna go and watch the football. I hope that the week ahead is gonna be an absolutely glorious one. Remember, it is all about your perspective. Keep that happy, positive outlook on life. Just exactly like I'm keeping a happy, positive outlook, and knowing that Stevie G is going to win Liverpool the league tonight. Watch it in all its glory. Coutinho will score. It'll be a draw. A City draw. Yeah. It's gonna be intense. It is gonna be an intense ball. But anyway, remember, love big, be happy, appreciate the small things, be thankful for what you already have, and start focusing on what you don't have. Remember, the aim of the game is to find happiness from within. I hope you have a beautiful day, a beautiful week. The world is your oyster. The only person who is holding you back is yourself. Go and live your dreams. And while you're doing it, just be happy. Stop being so serious. We're not gonna get out of this thing of called life alive. So enjoy yourself, be happy. Peace and love, as always, you beautiful people. Enjoy. I love you all. Ciao.